It's wonderful to have family, and that's something so unique and special when you're part of a family that has some level of closeness to it. And it was a joy when I was down in Peru as James came back after being gone for a while, and just to see the family have James back in their family. It's fun to watch the father's eyes as he was looking at his son, obviously very thankful for him. And there is nothing like family. And they're really the only people you feel really comfortable with, people that many times you can open up to. Well, the church is God's family. And it's in fact called that, the household of God. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And keeping that in mind, I'd like us to move back to our series in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We have seen throughout this book several emphases repeating. We nailed down the last time that matter of being discerning and to have the Spirit of God give us an ability to be spiritually attuned to all the false teaching that's out there. And then later in that chapter, it gets back into the subject that we're going to be looking at in chapter 5, and that's having a love for the Lord, and that's seen in various ways. And so now we get to chapter 5, and I want us to look at just the first two verses here. We're going to take just a few minutes as we go into the Lord's Supper tonight, but this is a very important couple of verses when it comes to one of the heartbeat purposes for which 1 Corinthians 11 was written, that gives lays out the Lord's Supper. The issue there wasn't the fullness of love for one another as there ought to be, so that Christ could be truly manifest in the sense of being able to be appreciated during the Lord's celebration of the Lord's table. And so verse 1 we read, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." That's going to be our key phrase. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Sound familiar from another message we just had today? Okay, it's all there again except for one more element, and that's what I want to look at. You find several times throughout 1 John, the Apostle John under inspiration, emphasizing this matter of loving the Lord and keeping what he has told us. Now remember who was sitting next to the Lord Jesus when he first taught that in John chapter 14. A young man named John. And as the years went on and as he saw things develop, he saw the work of God go forward, and he began to then carry the great burden of being the last living apostle. I am sure over and over in his heart and mind he could hear the gracious words of the Lord Jesus. And of course he had that intimate fellowship now with him because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But he understood very clearly from the time he was with the Lord on earth, and especially all of the years of his spiritual growth, that it was of great importance to the Lord Jesus that we love him, because it has consequences in other people's lives. In fact, it's so interesting. John is known as the Apostle of Love, and he's also known as the greatest defender of truth. He was known in those final years of his ministry as absolutely given to holding the truth, and was extremely strong. You see both of those themes here in this gospel. We have some history that can't be fully proven to be true or not, but that he would be very outspoken in his denunciation of those who were teaching falsehood there in Ephesus in his final ministry, and I can certainly see that that would be true. He had a love and loyalty for his Savior. And so let's just look at this very quickly here. We are regenerated because of God's love. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Out of God has been born is the literal way to look at that phrase. And so this is a stress put on the fact that we're born. We have a spiritual birth. And I'd love just to go on to that subject because that's very important. And so there is something supernatural that occurs. We go from being dead in trespasses and sins to being an actual child of God in our spirit. We are born from above. And so it's very clear here, if we believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, we are born of God. And the tense there speaks of a time in which that happened, and then the continuing effects go on, the continuing possession of that new life. And by the way, folks, there may be someone here, and you might say, aren't we all children of God by creation? Well, my friend, a cabinet maker can make a cabinet, but that doesn't make that cabinet his son. You can create something, but according in the spiritual realm, for us to become more than his creation, but his child, because we are sinners, we must have the new birth in our life. And how do we appropriate it? This is a great salvation verse here. Whosoever what? Believeth. It is by putting your faith alone in Christ. It is for whosoever. Oh my, you could preach a full gospel message right here. It's wonderful. And so we need to have the right object of our faith, though, for salvation. A lot of people will talk about faith, but it is that Jesus, the man Jesus, is the Christ, the God-man, Messiah, who was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would come and he would take our place and that he would deliver us from our sins and be raised from the dead. This is the whole concept. Jesus is the Christ is speaking of all that Christ is, the incarnate Son of God, and the work that he did. We must depend upon him alone for our salvation. All right, that's a wonderful phrase. We all love that. That's what we're going to be celebrating here in just a few minutes. But what I want to focus on is the second half of that verse, the response to God's love. And every one that loveth him that begat. Okay, let's stop right there. If you love him that begat, who's the one that begat? Who's the one that gives us the new birth? The Lord Jesus, God Almighty. All right? So if you love the one that saved you, is basically what it's saying. Okay? Utilizing the same terminology here. Loveth him also that is begotten of God. Who is that? How many of you tonight know that you've been born again? Hold up your hand and keep it held up. Okay, look around. That's the crowd. Look at them. Those are all the people that are begotten of Jesus, right? Amen? What are you supposed to do for all those people? Love them. Believe it or not, I mean, everybody in this room, everyone, there are some here that are just lovable types, you know. There are just some that are just teddy bears, you know. And there are some that maybe are prickly pears, not quite as lovable. But we are to love everyone who has been begotten of God. Simple verse, but it's powerful. If you love the one that saved, well, then obviously you need to love the ones that he saved because he loves the ones that he saved and gave his life for them. Obvious truth. And folks, it's a terrible thing when we don't. We're all part of the same family. Now, can families have problems? Do families always love each other? We are all sinful, selfish. We have the flesh after we're saved. Can believers have problems with one another? Certainly they can. But folks, we've got to understand what it's saying here. If you love him, you won't allow yourself to be overcome by the flesh with somebody else. You see, that's what 1 Corinthians 11 is talking about. Like I said earlier, you can't have the upper class, middle class, lower class. You can't treat one another in any of the human ways that people think in society, both then and now. Remember, they had slavery, and they had they had all kinds of class distinctions. That's not to be part of the Church of the Living God. There is to be a genuine love for one another. And so if we love him who so wonderfully saved us, who has brought us into the new birth, then we are to love all those that he loved enough to save. Now, folks, these are simple concepts tonight. But I'm going to let you in on a very startling thought. Did you know that God loves other people as much as he loves you? Now, you can be closer to him by your own choice, but he loves the people you see walking down the street. He loves people that aren't very lovable. He loves them as much as he loves you. You know, anybody that my dad loved, I couldn't help but really have an affection for. And if they loved my dad, I just couldn't help it. Any of my dad's friends were my friends because I love my dad dearly. So anybody that he loved, I don't care if I ever met him before. They had to be great people if he loved them. You know, it's just the way it was. My dad's friends became my friends. Well, Jesus, if we really are loyal to him, don't you think we're going to really be for those he loves? Now, folks, this is a simple thought, but it is very important. And you got to realize we're in chapter 5 now. And all of this continual back and around on these subjects just continue to intensify. And it's like now we have exclamation marks after. Because you read the verses just previous, it's about the same subject. And it's like he's just coming through and saying, he saved you. And if you love the one that saved you, then obviously you're going to love also those that he has saved. By this, verse 2, we know that we love the children of God when we love God. So he takes it and turns it around. If you really love God, then you're going to have an intense sacrificial decision, volitional love for those he loves that are the children of God. And so the way we know that we love everyone else, and this is, again, we usually look at it the other way. If we really love God, if we love the Lord Jesus, we're going to love those that he saved. But if we are going to know that we love the people that he has saved, the children of God, it will be because we know that we love him. Now here's the point. A believer that really loves the Lord Jesus and is walking in a true union with him can't help but love others. And so we know we're going to love the children of God if our relationship with the Lord is right. Husband, having trouble with your wife? Start loving God and you'll be okay. It's not going to be about what she does or doesn't do. It's going to be about the fact that you love the Lord and you realize you're just to love her as Christ loves the church. Wives, having trouble struggling with your husband? You start loving God. You get into a real, genuine, intimate relationship with him and you'll love your wife unconditionally. Young people, you know what the problem is? You know why you have problems with your parents? It's not because they got problems. Every parent does. The problem is you don't love God. If you really put him first and took time with him every day and began to realize that living for him is what life is all about, guess what's going to happen? It's just going to be automatic. You're going to love your parents. Parents, the same thing. Folks, the solution that we find here to loving others is to start with him, and then it will go to others. This is sort of the reverse. You know, if we're going to love God, then we'll love them, yes. But if we love him, we will love them. That's the issue. So if you have a problem then, let's take it on the other side. If you have a problem with your spouse, what's your number one problem? It's not your spouse. It's your love for Jesus. Now, folks, this is as true can be. Sometimes these thoughts that are simple can be, that's what John's trying to do here under inspiration, trying to get right to our core. Do not ever blame anyone else because you're struggling loving them. By God's grace in knowing his heart, that he loved them enough to die for them, and that they are as important to him as you are, and as you have your heart melted by the love of God like we talked about this morning, and you have a genuine relationship with him, the Spirit of God will have no trouble in causing you to love them no matter whether they respond at that moment or not. It will be unconditional. Aren't you glad that Christ's love for us is unconditional? How many of you were absolutely perfect today? I'm not raising my hand, okay? Does he still love you? Does he still love you? You're counting on it, right? I tell you what, husband, you ought to so love the Lord Jesus. Your wife never doubts, even if, you know, whatever. She never doubts that you love her because she knows you love Jesus. It solves so much. You know, there is such confidence in a family and then in a church family with one another because you know those people love the Lord and therefore you know they're going to respond right to you. And if they have a momentary wrong response, they'll get that right because they love Jesus and God will deal with them. It's a beautiful thing. You don't have to force any of these things. God is so able. He has abundant, overflowing grace. And he can enable us to meet any need and cause our heart to be broken about the needs for others. And we can have a heart that is totally different than who we really are. All of us have no ability in and of ourselves. But we have all the ability we need in Christ. So these verses to me are just beautiful in their simplicity. If you believe, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, in other words, you love him that causes people to be born again and caused you to be born again, and don't we love him for that? Well, then obviously, you're going to love the persons that are begotten of him. And you'll know that you love the children of God if you are loving God first. It will happen. Oh, we can't forget the last phrase. And keep his commandments. By the way, what does the Word of God say about husbands? Love your wives. What does the Word of God say, wives? You are to love your husbands. You are to be in submission to them. Young people, what does the Scripture say? And the Lord Jesus emphasized it, honor thy father and thy mother. What does the Word of God say to us, parents? We're to train them up in the way that they should go. And on I could go. And all the verses that talk about long-suffering, gentleness, sacrificial heart, giving of ourselves, hospitality, on, all of these things are what he's told us. And so if we love him, we will love him by caring about what he cares about, by caring about what he says, and therefore we are going to love one another. And if we don't love one another, there's our problem. We don't really love him. To me, it's a tragedy when Christians cannot get along with one another. It's the problem is solved. Go directly to him. And I'll tell you what. And by the way, folks, let me just say, I know I just repeat this over and over, but I am definitely passionate about it. You spend an hour with God every day, and you start praying for the people you may struggle with. And we do struggle with each other. You know, we're like porcupines trying to huddle up, you know. It's in the flesh, we just are interesting people. You know, I'm talking not here, I'm talking about everywhere. Just the way it is in life. I mean, just think about it. Can you imagine getting along with you? I mean, seriously. That's all you have to do, and that'll humble you. Just think about yourself enough and realize how unique you are. I mean, we're all a bunch of unique birds. Isn't it wonderful that we can still flock together and be able to do what we do? I mean, seriously, the human race is a mess. That's why churches just ought to be a glorious testimony of, whoa, look what God can do. That's what I love about the Church of the Living God. I love going to Peru and seeing the love of Christ there. I love being here. It's just wonderful to see the reality of the transformation that comes when we are born again. But we do need to understand. Naturally, we can't do it. But by God's grace, if we love Him, you spend that time in prayer, you go down that prayer list, you'll get His heart. You just will. And you'll see through totally different eyes. Whatever it is will melt. God will give you wisdom. And God will give you love. Isn't that wonderful? To me, these are wonderful verses. And as we go to the table of the Lord tonight, we need to come with a heart of love for Him that begat us and for all of those who are begotten of Him. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow together here tonight. Beautiful sea of hands were raised and full declaration that I am a child of God. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm sure if I were to go individually to every person here tonight and say, do you love the Lord? Are you thankful He saved you? You'd all say, with a real look in your eyes, yes, I am. I should be able to also then say, do you love every believer that you know? And if we're honest, everybody would hesitate a little bit because love's a pretty big term. It means we have decided to put others before ourselves. We can't do that without God. But sometimes there are things that even go beyond just our human inability. And so we love Him that begat us. Is there some issue with someone that He has begotten? And let me go beyond that. Do we just really care about one another? That is the beauty of the local church, and I thank God for how evident that is here. But you know, that takes God. So it really gets down to, are we taking the time with the Lord? Are we truly having victory to be able to love? Are we taking that serious time to fellowship with Him? And so tonight you say, I could raise my hand just joyfully as a believer, that I am saved, I am born again. But God did touch my heart. Might be in our family, actual physical family relationships, extended family relationships, husband, wife, wife, husband, young person, parent, children. Could be another believer. But oh, we need to be free in our heart. And so these two messages, like I said, go together. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep what I've told you. If we really love the Lord, we're not going to let anything stop us. We're going to make sure we're truly following Him and that we have His love. And if God touched your heart tonight, this is good preparation for the table of the Lord. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to have full love. I don't want anything to rise up in my soul. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up till I can see it and put it back down? God bless you. Many hands. Yes, amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe there's someone here tonight. You couldn't raise your hand when I asked everybody to raise their hands. You don't know for sure. If you were to die, I'm not certain you'd be in heaven. You're not certain that you're born again. It said, whosoever, but you got to trust in Him alone. You say, Pastor, I need to know that. I'm not certain about it. I'm glad I'm here tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you add your hand to these others? Just slip it up till I can see it and then put it down. I'd love to pray for you tonight. Anyone like that? Oh, Lord, would you work in hearts, Lord, prepare us for us to think about you here in these final minutes here tonight as we take the table of the Lord. Would there be nothing between us and you, nothing that would hold us back from being totally free in worshiping you now. And so, Lord, would you bless in all these that raise the hand, Lord, whatever decisions ought to be made, would you give the power for them to be made, I pray now in Jesus' name, amen.